This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Happy Thanksgiving. We are certainly thankful that you're listening. Well, it's no surprise that food will be the central focus of today's show. Today is a holiday that brings many people in this country together over a meal to share gratitude.
But it's not hard to look around our community, our country really, to see that for many people, food is a basic necessity that they can't take for granted.
Not long ago, the Milwaukee Film Festival convened a panel to discuss food insecurity in Milwaukee. The jumping-off point was a film called The Starfish Throwers, which profiles three people doing substantial work to reduce hunger around them.
The filmmaker is Wisconsin native Jesse Raisler, who joins us this morning via Skype from Minnesota. Thanks for joining us.
Very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Is there a part of the story of hunger in the world that you thought wasn't being told that you were trying to address through this film?
Yeah, you know, this started a film that was reading how food is a metaphor for compassion for these amazing people that are featured in the film. And over the course of the film, what emerged for me is this idea of the starfish story, that one person can actually make a big difference through inspiring other people. So it's that idea that our impact can be greater than our individual action, sometimes without us even knowing it.
When you set out to make it, though, you said it was about this food as a metaphor for compassion. Was that what got you thinking about hunger in the first place?
You know, I love to cook myself. My wife and I love to cook, and it's how we show people that we care for, love to cook for them. And so I was looking at, you know, food as a way of showing someone that you care for them. And I came across the story of Alan, who's based here in Minneapolis. And one night I actually saw his van driving, and very conveniently, it says love one another, but conveniently also has his phone number. So I gave him a call and said, what would you think about me just following you? I think your story is amazing. Can I bring a camera with? And at first he said, absolutely not. I'm not interested in the attention. That's not why I do this. So it actually took about a year and a half to convince him through conversations. Every once in a while we would check in to allow me to come out. But once I was with him the first time, he said, okay, it's not what he thought. He thought there'd be a big crew with lights and would be sort of disturbing to the work that he was doing, but it was just myself. And once he saw that, it was fine. And so from there, I started looking for other stories that also embodied that same work, people who are working towards a similar goal, but in a different way, and from a very different walks of life, which led me ultimately to India, to Krishnan, and then to South Carolina, to Katie. But it really all started with Alan and his story.
Well, and for folks who have not seen the movie, give us a thumbnail sketch of what each of these people does and where it fits in the equation of dealing with hunger.
Sure. So Alan is based here in Minneapolis, and he hands out over 1,000 sandwiches every single night of the year right from the back of his van. He's a retired school teacher. He had been working with kids from a young age and then slowly shifted his focus to homeless people who were on the streets of Minneapolis, had nothing to eat. And in the winter, it gets very brutal, so he'll give them tokens to ride the bus to stay warm. And he'll also problem solve with them. And that's what's different, I think, is that he asks, you know, how did you get here? What can we do to get your life back on track? And, you know, a lot of these people, other charities will provide, you know, a one-time meal or something, but they don't really get to the root at what has happened. And so I think Alan's able to help turn so many lives around because he does invest in them in this way. So, as I said, it started with Alan, and then Krishnan from Madurai, India, which is Tamil Nadu, the very tip of India. He was 5-star chef. He was serving in a hotel, and then on a trip back to his hometown, saw something disturbing, which just changed his entire perspective. And he said, I have the skill of cooking. Should I sell it just for money when I can give it to my people that are starving? So he started cooking 300, 400 meals a day for people in his hometown. And that passion has grown, and he's served millions of meals now, fresh cooked, amazing meals to these people in the streets of Madurai, India. And then finally, Katie Stagliano, when she was 9, she grew a cabbage as part of a school program. The cabbage kept growing and growing to everyone's amazement, and ultimately became a 40-pound cabbage, which just really sort of blew her mind. And her parents said, what do you want to do with it? And she said, you know, could we give this to the soup kitchen and maybe it could feed some people? And so they did that, and she went and helped cook it. And it ended up serving over 200 people with one cabbage. And that just flip this light bulb in her brain, and she's like, wow, if one cabbage can do that, what could a whole garden do? So put in a garden at home, and then her school heard about it, and they said, you know what, you can put in a garden here at the school. Farmers started hearing about the story and offering her acres to grow food, and ultimately she has, I think it's 80 children-led gardens in something like 30 states. So this movement has really expanded, and at 16 years old now, she has a goal to have 200 gardens in all 50 states by the time she graduates high school.
One of the things that really jumped out at me as you chronicle the stories of all three of these people is that there were naysayers for all of them. And in the case of Krishnan, you know, his own family thought he had kind of gone off the deep end. And Katie hears from, you know, anonymous strangers who think she's doing something wrong. It seems like a story of perseverance for all three of these people.
Absolutely it is. And that was what was, especially you mentioned Krishnan's story. I mean, what he's doing is really, you know, unique and special there because, you know, historically in the caste system, someone of his caste, the Brahmin, the highest caste, does not do this. They don't interact in any form with the lowest caste, the untouchables, as they're called. So for him to do this, you know, people say the caste system is really disappearing. In many ways it is, but you see illustrated through his story that it's not completely gone. I mean, it's still ingrained socially. So when he started doing this, his family, you know, even his parents, they brought in psychiatrists, black magic healers. They're like, what is wrong with you? We've given you this chance at this amazing, you know, lucrative career, and you're going to throw it away. So that was so fascinating in his backstory to see what he had to overcome just to you know, change his life and to do this work. And Katie also, yes, she gets these letters from people saying, you're wasting your time. These people don't deserve this. There are other people who could benefit from it. So, you know, and Alan, you know, people think, A lot of people think he's crazy here, you know, for doing what he does. So they all sort of have definitely faced these uphill battles.
When the film was shown at the Milwaukee Film Festival earlier this fall, I know one issue that some people raised was whether the efforts that you portray represent a Band-Aid approach or at least stop short of getting into the root causes of hunger. How do you speak to the value of what these three people are doing versus going after things like, you know, income disparity and education and the other things that might play into hunger in the world?
On the surface, this might, you know, seem to someone who hasn't seen the full film, they might think it's an advocacy film or a film about hunger. But what's unique about each of these three people featured in the film is that they are doing more than that. Alan, especially, you know, the sandwich is just the beginning for him. That's the conversation starter where he asks, how did you get here? What can we do to get your life back on track? And then he goes and becomes a creative problem solver. And it's amazing to see the lives he's turned around because he cares enough to ask those questions that nobody else really asks of these people. With Katie, you see her, you know, she's not only growing these vegetables and produce for people that are hungry, she is teaching people how to garden. She's, as you see in the film, she helps a man put a garden in his front yard as opposed to lawn that you just mow. And she also teaches cooking class for a lot of these people so that they can grow their own produce and cook their own food. And with Krishnan, it's a little bit different because he's helping people that a lot of them, the majority of them, are so severely mentally handicapped and they don't have the same services in India as we do in America for those people. So he really is just, it's survival mode. And a lot of them can hold down additional jobs. That's why opening the Akshay Home is such a big deal for him, because now he's a place where these people can come and at least contribute in whatever way they can in terms of peeling the vegetables for the meal or help cleaning the facility so that they feel that they're contributing, whereas they might not be able to hold down, you know, a traditional job in larger society. So I think that, you know, really, you know, the idea for that criticism, I think, you know, my hope for this film isn't that it's saying, here's how we solve hunger. It's not at all. It's more about reconnecting with our own, you know, ability to affect positive change on the world at large. And when you think about, is an issue too big and what can one person really do? I think their stories serve as an inspiration to show, like, wow, you know, our impact can really be greater than our own individual action, and that remember that every big change starts with one really small act. And I think each of these stories, you know, serve to illustrate that.
And I would imagine that you know, you might have some concern that someone might see this movie and see what, you know, forces of nature these three people are and say, oh, my goodness, there's no way in the world that I could make that kind of a difference. But if I get what you're saying correctly here, it's not necessarily about being one of these three people. It's about just starting somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and seeing where they started, it always started with something small that grew into something much bigger. And, you know, peripherally, we show all the people that sort of rally around each of these three central figures, you know, people that make this. So it can be as simple as getting a few people together and making some sandwiches. It can be as simple as, you know, you say you have a garden at your home, maybe you plant an extra row of something. So we can each contribute in different small ways. So it's not to say we all have to be the next Alan or Katie or Krishna, forces of nature, what they've been able to do, but it just, I think, reminds us that, you know, one small act can inspire other people. And then slowly, all of a sudden, these seismic changes start happening.
I'm assuming you followed the news that I think it's Fort Lauderdale, Florida, that has been ticketing a clergyman for his regular efforts to feed homeless people in public spaces. And, you know, after making this film, that has to be a really confusing message for you to see.
Yes. We actually have been sort of engaging in a dialogue that a bit on the film's Facebook page. It seems, you know, pretty absurd to us that would be a punishment, face a fee and potential jail time. You know, it's like, how do we want to spend our resources as a society? That would be an interesting addendum to the film, or maybe that's something for the special features, because what an interesting story to see how that will play out. I think it'll say a lot about the city and the state and you know, the larger community there, how that story ends.
Well, Jesse Raisler, it's really a terrific film. I hope it finds its way back to Milwaukee sometime soon. And I thank you so much for sharing the story with us.
Thank you. We would love the film to make its way back there. And thanks for having me on today.
Wausau native Jesse Raisler is the producer of the documentary The Starfish Throwers, which screened this year at the Milwaukee Film Festival. You'll find a link to the trailer and more information about the film at wuwm.com.